Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. And as Doug mentioned a few moments ago, 2 weeks ago, I preached on heaven. I was asked if I would do a lesson on heaven, and no problem with doing that. I love to preach on heaven. And so I preached on heaven, and I thought, well, I can't just preach on heaven. I have to actually preach on hell as well. We have to have balance, right? It can't be all one-sided. So I think we need good balance and to recognize there are two destinies for human beings. There's heaven and there's hell. Now, God wants us to choose heaven, but it's our choice. But before we get into this message this morning, I want us to pray for all the hurricane victims. And I understand now that death toll is going to be in the hundreds. There are hundreds of people that are missing in North Carolina and different places, and it's just devastating to see all of destruction. People's homes are gone. Everything they worked for are gone. People's lives are gone. People's worlds are turned upside down. And so there's not a whole lot that some of us can do, but we can pray and we can ask God to work and help these people. And so join me in prayer asking God to help all these victims. Our Father, through Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning. We ask you to be with all the victims of the hurricane. So many lives have been turned upside down. So many people are experiencing tremendous grief as their loved ones have been killed in this vicious storm that just did so much destruction in so many states. We pray that you be with these families. Comfort them, God. Help them. Give them the grace and strength they need to get through this time they're going through. And we pray that the challenges that they're going through also will lead them to you if they don't know you, that this will be a time when they'll cry out to you and beg you for help and want to know you. And so we pray that good can come from the destructive storm. And we pray, Father, for those who are just trying to get their lives back on track again. They need so much help. And the government doesn't seem to be there to help. And it's just a very difficult time that some of these people are going through. We just pray that you would help them. We pray to get the resources that they need. And we pray, Father, that their lives will begin to settle down again and they can get back on course with life. And we just pray, Father, that through all of this, you're glorified, you're honored, and we pray for many souls to be saved. And we just pray that these people receive the help that they need. And we know that we're limited in what we can do, but you're God Almighty and there are no limitations with you. And you can help these people in all the ways they need help at this time. And so we're asking you as your children to help these people. And we ask and pray it through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So this morning we're going to talk about hell. C.S. Lewis writes, "There is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this hell, if it lay in my power. But it has the full support of Scripture, and especially of our Lord's own words." And so we just had the text read a few moments ago in Mark chapter 9, and where he talks about going to this place where the fire is not quenched and the worm does not die. And this place is referred to as hell. And so the word hell there is the word Gehenna. The word Gehenna refers to the lake of fire, this place where people will suffer for eternity. There are two words that are translated hell in the Bible. The word Hades is also translated hell. For example, it talks about in Acts, the second chapter, that Jesus' soul was not left in hell. And there are those who teach, see, Jesus went to hell and he suffered, in hell and burning in this flame, whatever. And so they teach it because the word is translated hell. But that word is the word Hades. That is the realm of the dead. It's where all people go when they die. And that place, Hades, is divided into two sections. There's a place for righteous people and a place for wicked people. That's the Hadean realm. All right, the Hadean realm. But Gehenna is the lake of fire. It is that place of eternal punishment. You know, Jesus, there is a hell because Jesus says there is a hell. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 28, and do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so there is a hell. Jesus says there is a hell, but the question is, what kind of place is hell? Well, hell is just the opposite of heaven. Heaven is a place of unparalleled beauty. Hell is not. Heaven is a place of full intimacy with God. Hell is a place far removed from the presence of God. Hell is a place of that's absent from the presence of God. Hell is a place of weeping. Heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place of light. Hell is a place of darkness. Heaven is a place of righteous people. Hell is a place of unrighteous or wicked people. Heaven is a place of perfect contentment. Hell is a place of unrest. Heaven is a place of comfort. Hell is a place of torment. So hell is just the opposite of heaven. Now, two initial points I want to make. Number one, first, hell was created for the devil and his angels. We're told in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Hell wasn't created for people. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell is the destiny of the devil and all who will follow him. And so the Bible tells us that rebellious man will share in the fate of the devil. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Secondly, hell is God's just punishment against evil. So let me ask you a question. How do you feel about evil people like Hitler and others who just get away with their crimes against humanity? Because supposedly Hitler just killed himself, right? Killed millions of people, about 6 million Jews, plus other people. He killed many millions of people. And then he kills himself, and it's as though he gets out of it with no punishment. Right? He just gets away with his crimes against humanity. How do you feel about that? Well, God will make sure that every evil deed is justly punished. And so you may think hell is overboard as far as punishment is concerned. Because it's eternal. It goes on and on and on. There's no end to the punishment of hell. But you see, sin is rebellion against a holy God. And we don't see sin the way God does. We need to see sin through His eyes, not our eyes. You see, sin is a violent assault against a holy God. David said in Psalm 51 verse 4, against you only have I sinned and done what is wrong in your sight. And so David saw his sin of murder, his sin of adultery as being against God, against thee only have I sinned. Listen, we don't see sin right until we see sin against God. So let's look at some descriptions of this place that we call hell. And by the way, Jesus preached on it more than anybody else. All right? Jesus had more to say about hell than anybody else in the New Testament. So, first of all, hell is a place far removed from the presence of God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says this in the parable of the sheep and goats. He says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you hear those words? Depart from me. Depart from me, Jesus will say to those on his left that day. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says that in Jesus, he says, coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Notice the preposition from. From the presence of the Lord. From the glory of His power. There will be this eternal separation from God. That's what hell is. Hell is separation from God. And so the pain of hell will not be so much the fiery flames of hell licking one's soul as much as it will be the absence of a loving God forever. I believe that the words depart from me will sting far worse than all of the flames of hell. When sinners realize what they've lost, they will suffer the excruciating pain of eternal regret as they are eternally separated from this being who loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son, and yet they rejected His love. Well, God has no choice but to dish out justice and judgment upon the wicked. Number two, hell is a place of eternal punishment. Again, in the parable of the sheep and goats, Matthew 25 and verse 46, Jesus says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, John says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now some want to argue that eternal punishment refers to the results of punishment, not the duration. That eternal punishment does not mean that the wicked will suffer in hell forever, but rather that God annihilates them with no possibility of their being recreated. But brethren, this is not correct. The two destinies of human beings, punishment and life, are modified by the same adjective, and that's eternal. Jesus talks about eternal life and eternal destruction or damnation. And so eternal punishment. So the same word modifies these two places. One life and one death. You can't say one means forever and ever, that's heaven, but the other just for a short while. When it's the same term that modifies both of these destinies. So hell is a place of eternal punishment. Number three, hell is a place of fire. It's a place of fire. We see that right here in Mark chapter 9, you know, verse 44. He says, "Where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." So Jesus says the fire is not quenched. And then in Matthew 25, 41, going back to the parable of the sheep and goats, He refers to eternal fire. Revelation 20 verse 15, "And they were cast into the lake of fire." And so hell is a place of fire. And some wonder, how can hell be a place of fire? Because if you throw someone in the fire, they're going to burn and they're going to be consumed. Well, that's not necessarily true. Because we all are familiar with a bush that was aflame one day when God spoke to Moses. In fact, Moses was wondering why the bush is burning, but it's not burning up. And so that's what caused him to draw near to see what this strange sight was. So if God can make a bush burn and not be consumed, He can make a soul burn without being consumed. And so hell, Jesus says, is a place of everlasting burning. It is a fire that never ceases. And I don't know about you, but I can't imagine being in a place where I am being tormented with the flames of a fire for eternity. I think about that rich man in Luke 16 when he tells Abraham, please send Lazarus that he can dip his finger in water and come and just touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I can only imagine what that was like. I think of my son, Joshua, who one time one of the neighbors had emptied his grill out in the woods and all that hot charcoal was out there. And what are kids going to do if they see that in the woods? They're going to play with it, right? So they're dancing around it. And, you know, like just, you know, acting like Indians and, you know, whatever, and dancing around this fire. And Joshua falls into it, hands first. And all I remember seeing him, he's coming, I could hear him screaming, I'm burning! I'm burning! And I could just hear him, I mean, and I knew it was serious. And so I looked out and I saw his hands and I thought, well, maybe he has chemicals or something on his hands, but no, he had fallen right down in those ashes, and he cried all the way to the hospital, I'm burning! In fact, he was in the emergency room, I'm burning! The nurse finally said, would you shut up? He just kept going. Anyway, they gave him a shot of morphine, and he quit burning. He was doing well. But, you know, you just think how much that little kid was suffering, and that was from just a little bitty, you know, a little bit of charcoal, just a little burn on the hands. Imagine being thrown in a fire for eternity. I can't even imagine what that would be like. But there is a place called hell. There is a place of fire, and Jesus says so. And we'll talk more about the justice of that in a moment. But next, hell is a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness. Jude, verse 13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackest of darkness forever. I mean, so he's given us an idea that this place is extremely black. This is a place of utter, total darkness. There will never be a glimmer of light. It is total darkness forever. 2 Peter 2 verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Hell is a place of darkness. And listen, if that's all that hell were, that would be unbearable torment as far as I'm concerned. There's something about the darkness. I don't mind darkness as far as, you know, going to sleep at night and waking up in the morning. But who wants to go to sleep at night, wake up at night, and every day is night? It's just always night. Imagine living, you know, in Alaska where you have months of total darkness. People, the depression in that area is extremely high. Suicide rate is extremely high. We don't like the dark. We can't handle the darkness for long periods of time. And by the way, when you think of darkness, what comes to mind? I mean, that's the nightlife, is it not? I mean, that's when crime happens. People don't rob and steal as much in the daylight as they do at night. They do it under the cover of darkness. Go out at night and see what goes on in the nightlight in some of these cities. I mean, it's just crazy. There's drugs being done all over the streets. There's prostitution that's occurring. People are robbing and stealing and there's drug overdoses. I mean, it's a terrible life, but that's what you think of when you think of darkness and all that's associated with the darkness. So it's a place of fire, but it's also a place of utter and total darkness. I can't imagine what that would be like forever. To never, ever, ever, ever see a glimmer of light again. Just darkness forever. Some ways I think that'd be worse than the fire, in my opinion, but that's just mine. Hell is a place of haunting noise. It's a place of haunting noise. In Matthew 13, verse 42, Jesus says, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When people are thrown into hell, anger and frustration are going to erupt. Folks are going to be weeping uncontrollably. So, and there will be no one to comfort them. There'll be no one to console those individuals. It will just be a haunting, disturbing noise as you listen to the cries and the screams that go on endlessly for all eternity. That in and of itself will be torture. They just hear those cries. They hear the cries of all those around. And they're going to hear your cries if you're one of the unfortunate ones that rejects Jesus. Next, hell is a place of wicked people. Wicked people. In Revelation 21:8, John says, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So hell is a place of wicked people. Hell will be a frightening place to be. How would you like to be housed with that bunch for eternity? You know, you think about prison, for example, and in a cell block, and you think about all the people, you know, housed there. Imagine that's your neighbors forever, right? I mean, the wicked, evil people. Hell will be full of nothing but wicked, evil, unrighteous people. Hell is the place is too painful to sit still and too dangerous to move. Hell is a bad place, the Bible tells us. But there are two myths that I want to quickly mention before we close out this morning. Myth number one, Satan will be a king in hell tormenting people forever. So let me just turn your attention to Revelation chapter 20 and look at verse 10. Revelation 20 verse 10. And it says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan will not be a king on the throne tormenting people, poking them with a poker and laughing at them and tormenting them. He is going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. He will suffer in hell as much as everyone else suffers in hell, and maybe even more so, because I do believe there are degrees of suffering in hell. I think the Bible does support that. So I think perhaps he'll receive the greatest form of suffering. He's not going to be a king tormenting people. That's just false, right? That's a myth. He's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then secondly, he will say no loving God would condemn sinners to hell forever. Well, don't forget that God is not just a loving God, but God is a just God, right? So you can't just say, well, he's just a loving God. He's just all love. Well, that's only one attribute. The Bible says he's just and he's good and he's faithful and he's holy. There are many attributes that tell us who God is. And one of the attributes that tell us who God is that he is just. He is a just God. And a just God has to punish sin. He has to punish sinners. He doesn't have a choice. Because if he doesn't, then he's not a just God. A just God has no choice. He must punish sin. Can't turn his head. Can't look the other way. He can't act like he didn't see it. So don't think that, well, you know, on judgment day, God's going to break down and he's going to see this host of people who are lost and it's going to break his heart and he's going to decide in the very end, oh, just come on into my heaven. That won't happen. that will not happen, that cannot happen, and it can't happen because God is a just God. And God will see to it that every sin receives its just punishment. Now I want to turn your attention for just a moment to a text in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Before we do that, hell. It's a place of no God, no rest, no relief, no light, no good, and no end, the Bible says. But hell is man's choice. It's not God's choice. Because we can choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be spared the horrors of hell, or we can choose to reject Jesus and experience the horrors of hell. Jesus said in John 8 verse 24 that you will die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. In Romans the 3rd chapter verse 23, Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, what this text tells us is that God can't excuse sin. God must punish sin. And God could not allow sinners to simply go free. The punishment of their sin had to be paid. And how was the punishment paid? God paid the punishment Himself. God handed over Jesus to be a sacrifice of atonement. Notice, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And so God is a just God, and He exercised His justice in that He punished sin when He punished His Son at the cross. At the cross, God's wrath and fury was poured out on His Son Jesus. That's the justice of God being poured out against sin and ungodliness. Sin has to be paid. The debt of sin must be paid. God has to see to it the debt is paid. And so rather than you paying that debt, I paying that debt, God said, I'm going to let my Son pay that debt. That's the amazing thing. And that's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so let me ask you, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you taken God up on His offer of life? Because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell is not God's choice. Hell is man's choice. And any man who ends up in hell, he will end up there because that's his choice. But it's not God's choice. God's choice is heaven. And He's done everything to make heaven a possibility for you by offering His Son, Jesus. He paid humanity's sin debt so that we wouldn't have to pay that debt. That's amazing grace. If you've never taken God up on His offer, I hope and pray this morning you will come as we sing.